bit of a misty morning to greet us here at Caister St Edmunds near Norwich High Ash Farm with Norfolk farmer and nature lover Chris Skinner. And I find you, Chris, I thought I'd find you here next to your lake.
Yes, one of my favourite places. Not that I have time to sit down and enjoy what I've created. I suppose one of the school mottos where I went to school at Brackendale was almost busy as a bee. On my hat I had a picture of a bee, and I think that must have sort of distilled into my blood, so I hardly sit still.
If this was mine, I'd have a picnic chair in the back of the truck and I'd sit here all day.
Yes, with but a knotted handkerchief on top of the head.
But you don't do that.
No, but I've always got some project on the go, and I love it. Just look, going across the horizon there, we're at the bottom of one of the valleys on the farm, Chinese water deer, right in front of us. Just by magic, the wildlife appears. Rat, our terrier accompaniment, is just going round the water's edge here. And believe it or not, this wasn't a natural pond. It was dug when 2006, when I went into stewardship. And I suppose it's one of the most productive areas on the farm. We did a little talk in Bungie on Sunday, and on the screen there were several videos taken from this area of water. It's about 30 metres wide and 100 metres long, so it's quite an area of water surface. Much of it around the edges is very shallow. And believe it or not, this was an arable field, and it's by a stream, and we used lasers and set out the pond. And almost instantly, from the word go, it attracted wildlife. And when we did this little presentation, we saw egret here, beautiful white bird, obviously grey heron. Otters have been here, and we got a video of them. Mute swans are regular visitors, as well as a whole variety of waterfowl. Beside us is a little stake, and over the last few evenings I've attached my camera to this particular stake, exactly where we're standing, right on the water's edge. And always something happens which intrigues me. Right in the centre of the frame, we'll be able to see it on this week's podcast on High Ash Farm Facebook to accompany what we're talking about. A beautiful stripy bird suddenly appeared with shining eyes, reflective eyes, and it just melted my heart.
It was very long beak as well.
Exactly. It was a common snipe. Nothing sort of common about them, although they're kind of brown and cream stripy plumage. The stripes on the heads go from the top of the beak over the top of the head, sort of long ways, whereas with woodcock, another bird, it's also a wader, so is snipe, the stripes go across the top of the head, so you can always distinguish the two. Woodcock's also got a long beak, but you seldom find it by water. It was more a bird that's deserted the sort of marshland, and you find them more in woodland and rough scrub and bracken, whereas snipe, Galligano galligano, love this. So we're right on the edge. You can see the edge of the pond here is only an inch or two deep. It's quite deep out in the middle. I'm actually standing on grass doing that.
Just gently shelves, doesn't it?
Yes, so it's a very gentle thing. That's absolutely ideal. So the snipe comes along the edge of this water, just where the water meets the former arable field, and it's lovely and soft, so it could instantly pop its beak right down into the soil. It's the bird with the longest beak as proportional to its size of any British bird. We have native snipe, and we also have, during the winter months, lots of migrants coming across from Western Siberia. Now, it's a huge kind of migration, particularly at that time of the year. November, they'll come across Siberia, Western Siberia. There's lots of marshland there. It's 1,000 miles to Moscow, and it's another 1,000 miles to get here. So these tiny birds, and they don't weigh much more than about 4 ounces, they're game birds. so they're regularly shot. And when the ground gets frozen, they seek out areas like this right beside water where they can still probe in. Their main diet's worms. So we have resident snipe in the UK, which are here really all year round. UK breeding populations more or less about 60,000 pairs. But during the winter months, we go to 1.1, 1.2 million birds. So a lot come over the North Sea, having done that huge migration. So they're still shot quite regularly. So sometimes in frozen ground, snipe will flock together and fly up, and that's called a wisp. They've got a particular name of the flock of snipe. But you seldom see large numbers because, particularly here in the eastern counties, we've drained a lot of the marshland around this particular area down beside the River Yare as it goes out to Yarmouth. Many of the old marshes were ploughed up and put down to wheat, and actually before that happens they were drained as well, and so you lost that lovely wet marshy boggy habitat, which is the home of the snipe. They love it. The wetter
you must have been really pleased to see that on the video, because you weren't necessarily aiming to get a snipe.
No, that's the thing with trail cams. That's the thing with watching wildlife. When you go out to study one thing, or because you know it's there, and something else completely different happens. But the interesting thing is they will migrate. They feed like woodcock. They're quite nocturnal. They will be about in the daytime, and if you're out walking in a marshy area or beside a river or a dike or a stream, then suddenly this almost under your feet, these birds fly up, and the flight is what gives them their sporting prowess as far as the shooter goes, if you like, because they don't fly in a straight line. They go up extremely quickly, just take off almost vertically, and then they weave, and that's got a special word attached to it as well. It's called jinxing. And so if you are a keen shot, because they aren't easy to shoot, they're a sportsman's one of the favourite birds that you can actually shoot, although they're only 4 ounces, the debate is it's now an amber list species, meaning it's causing some conservation concern. The argument is, should we still be shooting them? But somebody who sort of conceals himself and takes a pot shot, often with a rifle, is called a sniper. But it actually comes from somebody who shoots snipe. And you've got to be a pretty crack shot to shoot them. And it's because of this jinxing flight that they have.
That's not to say you approve, is it?
No, I don't. I've been trying to have the consent to shoot them withdrawn for years and years and years. I just chivying away because, as I said, it's an amber list species. Woodcock are now a red list species, which means they've declined by 50% or more. In the case of woodcock, snipe, and snipe's got a diminutive cousin called a jack snipe, which we've often seen at the farm. It's even smaller. Bearing in mind, a snipe, give you an idea, is about the size of a starling, a little bit bigger. But it looks much bigger because it's got this 2.5-inch long, 66-centimetre beak.
Proboscis.
Yeah, it's in a really interesting beak, though. And the jack snipe is about 5 inches from tip of beak to tip of tail. The common snipe is probably about 8 inches, but looks bigger because of the long beak that's included in that length and the long legs. So a probing bird. But the beak fascinates me. This 2.5-inch long beak, you can actually see the snipe on the camera, and it probes into the ground. It's a very long, sharp pointed beak, goes down into the ground. It's a very sensitive tool as well, because it can kind of sense earthworms or other soil invertebrates just down in the soil, 1 inch or 2 inches down. But here's the secret. If you're going to open your beak up down there, you end up with a beak of soil. So just the tip of the beak opens up. and grabs the worm, it pulls it out, and worms being what worms are, covered in little hairs, this is a common earthworm, they put the hairs out in their little tunnel, and they're jolly hard to pull out of the ground. I've often watched blackbirds doing the same thing. But snipe...
You get a tug of war.
Well, literally it is that, and sometimes the worm will just suddenly pop out of its hole in the snipe's beak, and the snipe will fall over backwards. They are quite amusing. Nest on the ground, 3-4 eggs, often in sedge and anything sort of vegetative cover. This is really good habitat around here.
Yeah, you've got some reeds and that sort of undergrowth there.
All the way around there.
And there could easily be snipe nests in there.
Absolutely, yes. So perfect. The eggs are really well camouflaged. When the young hatch, they don't stay in the nest like a lot of young birds. They start walking about almost straight away. And I just love them. And it's a cracking video. When you see this, after all, I'm just a Norfolk farmer. And I'm learning to love what's on the farm. And it's a very much a learning process, which why we do this podcast. It's sharing this because nature really belongs to everybody. You know, you'd like to think if you've got game on your farm or deer and you do deer stalking, it belongs to you. Actually, at the end of the day, we're sharing our planet with all these creatures. They all have different habitats, different habits, lots to learn about always. And it's learning that makes you respect, you know, that they're living outside in what we dish out to them, if you like.
This is a terrific habitat, Chris. I've always enjoyed my trips down to your lake. This is a sort of glassy, mirrory surface. It's quite a calm day today, but it hides a myriad of different creatures.
Oh, yes, there's newts. Look, gudgeon. Look, okay, you set me off now. Just come 3 steps or 4 steps this way. I'm going to put you in the edge of the water. Instead of 1 inch of water, try 4 inches of water. Have a look here.
Wow. Wow. Lots of bubbles and sort of white material coming up. And we've got some tadpoles, haven't we?
In the making. Right. We didn't have to walk. Look, this is what nature's all about. You'll often see all you want to see in one spot. If you sit still or if you're in woodland, sometimes the wildlife will come back to you. There's a kind of captive audience in front of us.
This is high ash caviar here.
Yes, you could say that. It's wonderful. Just listen, though. We've been serenaded at the end of the lake by a robin singing just then. We could just hear it.